Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris down here on the beach. It's early morning. It's the last week before daylight saving finishes, so it's going to get brighter. But what a beautiful red glowing sunrise we have. It's Australia's best kept secret, and I want to keep it that way. But Bondi Beach after Easter for the next 2 months, it is spectacular. I'm walking through a bunch of seagulls who are hanging around a couple who are having their morning, early morning or late night picnic. The seagulls, they're pretty smart animals. They know that there's a bit of tucker to be had if they just hang on for a while. I got a bit of wind out here. Hope it doesn't mess the microphone too much. So I cover it with my hat as I walk along the beach. What's your vision? And if you write that down, does it inspire you or bore you? I think it's really important to realize that an open heart only opens when the future has some security in it. And the first piece of security is not what everybody thinks. Most people think future security is having a few bucks in the bank and a good job and a few relationship credits in the bank and, you know, a house you can rely on and a good dose of health. And if you ask most people, and a little bit of spiritual awareness, and most people would say that gives me security for the future, but it doesn't. Let me tell you why. There's one topic, and that is worry. And the mind is a strange animal. Even if you give it everything the body needs to be secure, even if you have all those things that we just talked about, the mind can worry. It can worry about the future. What if I get cancer? What if I fall down? What if I get run over by a car? What if? And that what if is, I think, what we need to deal with when we deal with a vision. You see, a vision is a big story. And it taps into a part of the human condition that is not responding, doesn't respond to fear. And that part of the human condition that doesn't respond to fear is called your imagination. Now, fantasy and imagination are two different things, and that's where coaching comes in, to make sure that you don't harvest fantasies, especially if you follow the typical path of self-help, which says anything's possible and everything's possible, which it's not. There are universal laws that govern our existence on this planet. They're reflected in nature, and we call them the universal laws of nature only because you can't see the universe, but you can see nature. And so anything I say to you can be validated by you walking out the door, sitting under a tree, grabbing a leaf and thinking about it, examining it. So a fantasy is something that you could have faith in, you could be told is true, but you don't know it's true, and so you choose to have faith in it or belief in it, even though it might just be a fairy tale. I struggle with that with our kids when they talk about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and all these lies that we tell children about fake fantasy characters that are leading them in the direction of believing in something greater than themselves, which is a religion. So Santa Claus and the Easter bunnies are one step before we introduce them to God. We replace the fantasies of a person who comes down the chimney, drinks the milk, eats the cookies, goes back up the chimney and delivers presents to every kid on earth. We replace that fantasy with God. And that's actually possibly not the wisest thing we can do, or actually in the best interest of the kids. Just making a photo for the front of the blog. So, with all that, you've got to think to yourself, are you still dreaming of Santa Claus? And are your visions real, or are your visions fantasy? Now, imagination is a beautiful thing. It doesn't have fear built into it. It doesn't have guilt into it. What it does, it builds a picture of a future. Now, as soon as you add emotion, you've added fantasy. So if you go, I'm going to build a beautiful big house, the word beautiful triggers your emotions, and that's great, because you want them to be emotionally engaged in whatever you do. However, if the word beautiful is your priority, and you're building a vision based on beautiful, you might just be building a vision that is a fantasy. Because in the world of beauty, ugly exists, pain exists, suffering exists, hurt exists. There's a cost for everything. There's no such thing as a free lunch, and there's definitely no such thing as beauty without death, suffering, pain. So if the word beauty to you means the balance of order and chaos, means the balance of growth and decay, means the balance of pleasure and pain, then you've nailed it. And then you will see beauty, like the sunrise this morning, this red sky, glowing, glowing red. It's still bright red. People have all stopped to take photos. If you look closely on the skyline, there's houses being pulled down and houses being put up. There's trees dying. There's seagulls with one leg. There's impending red in the morning, shepherd's warning. There's impending wind and rain coming with that beautiful red. It's a warning as well of potentially a big day of storms. And I think, looking at the map, that's probably going to happen. So beauty is not just bang, gee whiz, isn't that wonderful, wow, there's no dark in it. The beauty is caused by the fact there's growth and decay, there's pleasure and pain, there's right and wrong in it. But we don't see that, we don't have to. We just recognize beauty when we see it. But if you peel it apart and try to repeat it in a vision quest, and say, oh, I'm going to create beauty in my vision quest and visualize it. Better you visualize reality, not a fantasy. When the why is big enough, the hows take care of themselves. If you're struggling with decisions, it's because you don't have a big enough why to make the decision logical. If you're struggling with what should I do, how should I handle something, what should I do about it, you're in the what. You're already in the rational brain. It just means your vision is too small. And I think that would be the most common problem I encounter with fresh clients. They have achieved many of the things they dreamed of, and now they're in comfort zone, and they're trying to, as Krishnamurti said, pad the prison cell. In other words, they've achieved their vision. Now they want to try and make where they're stuck comfortable. And Krishnamurti said, most people spend the entirety of their life decorating their prison cell, in living in the confinement of safety and their own mind, not wanting to reach out into their own incompetence and confront themselves. And that's a surefire way to end up being a statistic on this planet. So, question for today, and have you written it down? And if you're coached by me, have you sent it to me recently? Or are you ashamed or shy or wanting to hold back just in case it isn't right? In other words, is it a fantasy? This is Chris. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now. Wow, this red sky is incomprehensibly beautiful. I wish I could show you all now. This is big picture stuff. Bye for now.